He said, in fact, I like the way the Bible said it, that he sent a man ahead of them, even Joseph, whose feet they hurt with fetters. The man they cast in prison, it was God that sent him ahead. When his brothers came and they were saying, after their father died, our father said, you shouldn't punish us. Because they thought that the reason why they were all alive and well was because their father was still alive. So as soon as the father died, they said, Simeon, come. Naphtali, come. Wala deal. Say, which kind of wala? Papa don't die. Now only we and Joseph remain now. So say, good, no wahala. You know, these guys, their lie never stop. They gathered and said, you know, our father said we should tell you that now that he's dead, you shouldn't do anything bad to us. That's when he said, am I in God's stead to kill and to make alive? He said, you may have meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He sent me ahead to come here and preserve lives. He first told them that thing. That was not even the first time he told them. The first time they discovered that he was Joseph. When they came, they didn't know he was Joseph. I mean, he looked like an Egyptian, dressed like an Egyptian. Wore all the royal robes and all the gold, all the rings everywhere. Men were bound down to it. It didn't cross their mind. This was a Hebrew like them. When they discovered, they said, oh, buddy, we are dead. The last time we met this guy, we were about to kill him. And he told them, listen, no, this is my story there. The fact that he discovered his purpose in life, he did not know it ahead of time. And I'm saying that God sends people, all right? He doesn't have to call you with a loud voice in your ears. He gives you points. Go and read out my book, Choice is Key to Destiny. Each point in life, you have to make a choice to go left or to go right. If you always go the right direction according to divine principles, you will discover yourself in the center of the will of God. In the center of God's calling for your life. Beware of Christians. I will say this. I know, you know, for certain reasons, I had a discussion with my colleague today. I said, I must preach harder. There are too much joke, you know what I mean? It's in Pentecostalism. And should I tell you one of the reasons? Now, this is very funny, but it's a matter of fact. You know, when I was preaching on radio, and I said, don't worry about the devil. Did you hear me preach it? Somebody sent this maker text. I think he was talking to me, actually. That pastor should leave that one alone. That obviously that's an area he doesn't know. That not them know deliverance and demonology. That Pastor Banky has been blessing also, but this demon area, he should leave it alone. Obviously, he doesn't know that part. And I laughed, you know. I was not just going to a colleague of mine in the office today. Ah, he said, Banky, you don't understand. That's not real chopping for people now. That's where people make their living. You want to spoil your works? That's where people... He said there are those that their job is to go and pack the sand from your father's compound. You know what I mean? It's spiritual. He said they should be careful. That what's going to happen is that they are going to expose themselves. He was the one, my colleague was saying it. They will expose themselves to trouble. And actually, there was a pastor, his wife, and one of his children, or two of his children, that went to go and do one of those things somewhere around. I don't know where exactly now. Some months ago. Do you know? All of them just died mysteriously. They don't know what happened. I don't know whether you heard the story. They all just died. I like the way my colleague said it today. He's a believer. He said, what nonsense. Which sand are they packing? Are they saying the blood of Jesus doesn't have power again? And you've heard me say several times, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. The witch that's living in the tree is a very kind witch. At least he didn't live in your house. If they tell me that there are witches in the mango tree at the back of my house, as God is my witness, I won't bother. She is mango tree. Stay there. It's a good place for evil people like you. Righteous people live in houses. They sleep on beds. God prospers them. They put air conditioners in their windows and put on and sleep. In peace will I lay me down and sleep, because the Lord alone makes me dwell in safety. That was what David said. So the man is in the tree. Why are you bothering him? Stay in the tree. Enjoy yourself in the tree. Live long in the tree. And let those of us who are walking in a manner pleasing to God live on the earth. Live in homes. Drive good cars. Build decent houses. And plant more trees for evil spirits like you. I mean, when Jesus was casting out demons, did they not beg him, please, where can we go? Where can we go? Can we go to the pig? And Jesus said, no problem. She is pig. Go. Just leave the humans alone. The witch that wants to stay in the tree is a kind witch. It's a witch that wants to live long. Because the one that doesn't want to live long tries to enter my house. The one that doesn't want to live long tries to eat from my table. Do you follow my point? The witch that stayed in the tree, please leave them alone. They are the ones who can't bother you. I mean what I'm saying, every bit of it. Anyway, this was the gist my friend and I had. So we said, I told him, I said, do you know the problem? I said, they are not Pentecostals. They are white garment people that now wear color. Have you noticed that white garment churches don't proliferate anymore? Those of you from Eastern Nigeria, you don't know what I'm saying. Those from my side, if you know that Lagos side, all that, our Western side very well, every stream has a white garment church. In Lagos, not too many streams. They use even gutter, big gutter like this, they go use them for white garment because water they flow. Their spirits like water. You know why the spirits like water? Ken Hagin said it's because of hell. I don't know. That evil spirits like water because of hell, hellfire. That the place is hot, so they are always trying to gather as much water. They are always thirsty. And I've heard that thing before. People who have serious demon problems, so when they want to, one of the things that they ask for is water. They want to drink, quench their thirst generated in hell. So I told my friend, I said, listen, this is a matter of fact. These people don't do white garments anymore. They now wear color. And that is why those things are proliferating everywhere. He told me when I was talking, he said, this is the reigning thing now in Christianity. They go to the village to go and attack the devils for you. No, wife, there was something he said. He said they will separate a man from his family. You don't get the point. That is the typical thing they do. They will tell you, your problem is your mother, your father, your brother, your sister. They don't want you to prosper. Don't go home again. My friend said, do you know why they do that? Because they need your money. The first thing they do is separate you from those that you really love. Those who can offer you deliverance, who can offer you truth, those who really can pray for you. They want you to anoint them. Because if those that love you don't pray for you, you are doomed. Because the prayer of other people are ineffective. Oh, I don't know whether you get my point. If those that love you don't pray for you, you are in trouble. Those who don't love you, who don't know you, they really can't pray for you. The father will thank you for brother. He said, Brent, let us pray for brother Ajale Koko. He said, who is that? It's one brother somewhere. Okay, let us pray. God bless him. Bless him. Bless him. But when he says your own brother, God say we will speak tongue later. Let's talk the one we understand first. God, in the name of Jesus, no evil shall befall him. Oh. Father, you go tear cloth. You understand my point? Because you know who you are. Do you get my point? So that's what they do. Anyway, I know I'm digressing. Let me just see what I'm going to say. So when we finished talking, I told my friend, I said, listen, I have to preach hard. If I feel like going back on radio and airing those things again that I said before. Because people are not hearing the truth anymore. That's what I'm trying to bring out. They like the things that are sensational. Are you getting my point? Yes. In fact, I was meditating. I found out that this is a problem with people. And I've left my message. I'm saying something else. But I'll get back to where I was. All right? I found that they don't like to take responsibility. Let me explain. If I say your problem is a witch, that means it's not your fault. If I say your problem is from the village, that means it's not your fault. But if I said, walk before me and be perfect, God says, and I will bless you. Suddenly you have to watch where you go, who you talk to, what you eat, how you spend your money, where you go in the morning, where you go at night. Suddenly all the lies you tell have to stop. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? I've seen it several times. The pastor, no, I've seen them. They won't tell the person, you are the one that has the problem. Say, no, it's a witch, it's a witch. It's not you. You are okay. It's your enemy. So what are we going to do? We are going to face them. And all of them must somersault and scatter. And by the time you are through, the only thing that has somersaulted and scattered is your money. And you yourself. Because, look, and what the Bible said, didn't heal the hearts of the daughters of my people slightly. Saying, peace, peace, where there is no peace. Because for a week, you will feel okay. He said, Pastor Bai, does it not mean it works? Let me tell you, I can do it to you as a doctor. I will give you chalk to swallow for a week and you'll get better. I'm not joking. We call it placebo effect. Ask him. I'm not lying. We call it what? Placebo effect. When they want to check a new drug, whether it is good. If the drug is supposed to be 2 tablets 3 times a day, they will grab some people, 50 people, give them the real drug, 2 tablets 3 times a day. Then grab 50 other people and give them chalk, ordinary starch or sugar. Make it into tablets and say, take these tablets. All of them having the same kind of problem. Because it's been found out, the fact that you gave him tablet to swallow, as much as 25% of the people will get better. So to show the effect of the real drug, we must beat the effect of what you call placebo. That's in material things. In spiritual things, it occurs also. God said, they have hit the brokenness or the heart of the daughters of my people slightly. Or like my Bible says, superficially. Saying peace, peace when there is no peace. So when you say peace, there's superficial healing, even if there's no peace. So you pray for a man and say, your problems are gone. So this is your deliverance. You seal it with a big offering. That's where you know the man. You know where the man is going. Please, I hope you're getting the point I'm making. Why am I saying all of these things? I found out that, look, people a lot of times, they don't know. They want to. They rather just pray. Let one pastor just pray over their heads. That's why I said all of this. You want the pastor to pray over your head and tell you what you are doing is good. Go forth and prosper. Go forth and succeed. Now, I believe in blessing people. You know that. All right? But listen, that's not the first thing. What actually leads you? People have called me several times. I want to know God's call for my life. I said, why do you want to know it? I said, what they have given you to do, now do it properly. And forget that one. You discover that one later. Say, what's my ministry? I said, what do you mean, what's your ministry? What job do you do now? I teach in a secondary school. Teach very well. That's your ministry for now. No, I'm telling you the truth. Teach very well. That is what? Your ministry for now. You would look, listen. What you need to do is identify your gift and exercise it what? Accordingly. As what's your calling? Don't worry. God will lead you to it. People want somebody to lay hands and then say, I perceive in my spirit that you're a prophet. Listen to me. The day Samuel began to prophesy, he didn't even know what it meant, what it was called prophesying. I don't know whether I get my point. God called him with his physical ears. He didn't even know who was talking. You make it look like you have to beg God to talk to you. I don't believe that. The day God called Moses, Moses has to explain to God that actually, let's face the fact, Baba God, I'm not sure say I go fit. The day God called Jeremiah, Jeremiah said, maybe you have forgotten. I'm below the age requirement. Nigeria constitution says I have to be 40 before I become president. And Jeremiah told the Lord, you don't get the point. I'm just 19 right now. What am I trying to say? By the time those guys began to prophesy, they were not begging anybody to prophesy. Not that anybody said, yeah, go and prophesy. No. They were just relaxing, walking before God, and then God led them into their calling. Are you getting my point? Now, this was not what I planned to preach today. I just found myself in it. Well, what have I said so far? That, listen, how does God call people into the places where they are supposed to be? It's very simple. Now, there are a few people he will speak loud like he spoke to Jeremiah. There are those he will burn their bush like he did burning bush for Moses. But majority of the people will be like Joseph. They will be like Daniel. When Daniel was entering into Babylon, all he did was make up his mind. I will do everything that is right. This place where I'm going to. And what he experienced was one promotion after another. One promotion after another. And when you see troubles concerning his people, he will get home and pray. As a result of his prayer for his people, for deliverance, then God will send an angel and tell him, go and show him what is going to happen tomorrow. And he will finish that and I will say, right. Do you follow the point I'm making? I hope what I'm saying is clear. Now, I know I said this from the beginning. Maybe next time we'll continue it. But what I was trying to say that time is that God created you for a purpose and that your creation, all right, is a light, that God's light is packaged in your system, that you're a capsule of healing for somebody's sickness. What did I say? I said you are a capsule of healing for somebody's sickness. Nobody packages a capsule without anything inside and starts selling. Are you getting my point? First, they make a medicine and package it in a tablet, in a capsule, in an ampoule, all right, containing fluids for injection, and say, go and use this. And what am I saying? Before God brings anybody into the earth, it's because he wants to speak into somebody's situation. Oh, let me say this again. You are the manifestation of the voice of God. Did I hear an amen? What did I say? I said, you are a manifestation of a spoken word from the mouth of God. That is, when God wanted to deliver, he spoke a word. And that word appeared. That's why they said in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is when God spoke a solution to Nigerian problem, it crystallized and formed a flesh called Banky. You don't get the point. It said in the beginning was the word, then the word became flesh. Before God releases anything onto the earth, he speaks it first. And you appeared as a manifestation of what of that which God spoke. Listen, you have to live life with that perspective. Are you getting my point? You have to live life with that perspective. You must understand that that's where your life is. You are not an accident. You are not an accident. Gosh. That thing I believe totally. I say you are not an accident. If you understand life from that angle, you will live life differently. Now when I talk about sin, I say sin. People make sin when you are praying to people. Make it like if you are begging them to agree with you. I say, don't worry, we will still come to that church. We will still come to that church. We will still come. They don't understand. I said, in heaven, God doesn't judge sin. Who sinned? Oh yeah, how many adulterers are there? Over to this side, throw them into hell for being adulterers. No, it doesn't. No, really, believe me, it doesn't do that. If they have not believed, fine, throw them in there. When it comes to judging believers, their names are written, okay, let's judge them according to their works. This is what sin does to believers. It prevents them from doing the right work that they are supposed to do. So when you are preaching to a man, stop preaching to him as if he's doing you a favor. It's Islamic fundamentalists that preach like that. As if you are doing us a favor. Allah said we should kill you if you don't obey. Is that when you sin, it's yourself you are hurting, not us. That's the point. That is, your life has a purpose, but you can never discover that purpose except you deliver yourself from iniquity. We studied Ezekiel chapter 14 before, when God was speaking. He said that these people come and say, inquire for us from the Lord. He said, how can they come with their iniquities before their eyes? Their idols like this, in the very center of their hearts. So they are come and say, what? Look, that is, their iniquities, their idols, are the reasons why they can never follow divine calling. That's the reason. I just feel like talking. You know what life does? Oh, Satan, his job is to tempt. You know, you heard me say that on radio in the last few weeks. His job is to do what? Tempt. And if something doesn't look and feel nice, it wouldn't be called a temptation. The fact that it feels nice and looks nice is what is called a temptation. When they told Eve, eat, the Bible says that she looked at the fruit, that it was nice to behold, and that it was pleasing due to get to the body. You ask yourself, where was she all this while? Did that tree grow that day? Did God not point it out to Adam? And Adam pointed it out to her that this particular tree, we can't eat it, or we can't eat of its fruit. Why was it that it was the day that Satan began to speak that she discovered that it was nice to behold? Why? Because your impression of anything is formed by the words that you hear. I don't know whether you heard me right. Your impression, that's why it's good you came. Oh God, I hope you're getting my point. That's why it's good you came to hear this teaching. Because you won't understand the beauty in following God's call for your life except you hear words about it. The impression you have of anything is based on the words that you hear. You remember my example, Homer. The car Homer. Most young men were shouting Homer had never seen it. All they heard was, Homer, if I have the hammer, I go buy Homer. That's all they know. Nobody will maintain with that. People don't know the song I'm singing. Why are you pretending as if you don't know it? I remember the first time I heard Homer, one of the first few times I heard Homer, it was a joke on TV. One pastor was trying to do church and collect money. So everybody said, Jehovah Shammah, you make me hammer, and I will buy Homer. I mean, all they wanted was their money, and they were shouting, Jehovah Shammah, you make me hammer, and I will buy Homer. What am I going to say? So that by the time that ugly beast appeared, it was fine to behold. People want to die for Mercedes-Benz. A lot of them have never entered one. What am I saying? All these people want to die to go to America. Have they been there? If they wake up one day and discover that it's just a home movie they've been showing for them on TV that they call America, they still won't believe it. So let's get there first. Like I said the other time. Let us get there first. That is, the beauty of a thing is decided. Or let me put it like this. The perception of a thing is decided by the words you've heard concerning that thing. And listen, but everything has intrinsic value. And only God knows the real value of a thing. I hope you get, oh, you're getting what I'm saying. Only God knows the real value of a thing. That's why he said, how can a young man keep his ways pure? By keeping it according to thy word. So that if God says this is bad, it is bad. You get what I'm saying? So if God says something is bad, I don't care how I feel. After all, how I feel was dictated by what other people told me. It wasn't dictated by reality. It was dictated by what I heard. I remember an argument I had once with a relative of mine. She was pregnant. And I was fresh from youth service, and I served in Taraba State. And in my part of Taraba State, there were a lot of Fulani people there. All right? And I saw Fulani girls deliver children. Oh my God, you never saw anything like it. A Fulani girl in labor does not cry. The first time they called me and said, I have a patient and that she's in labor. And I got in there. I saw the way this 17-year-old girl was relaxed. Having come from the south, I said, she's not in labor yet. And I remember one attendant, she told me that, doc, she's in labor. And I looked at her, I said, she's not in labor yet. And she said, doc, she's actually in labor. And I was getting a bit irritated that, listen, my friend, I am the doctor here. And I'm telling you that she ain't in labor. But before I said that, I was beside the girl on the bed. She was lying down there. I put my hand on her stomach. And she was having a particular contraction at that time. She was having contractions. And I touched it. If you're a doctor, a nurse, you know how to gauge the strength of contraction by putting your hand on it. My God, the thing was, hey, Jesus, it was strong. I stepped back. The woman said, okay, now so did they do. Now, I don't mean they don't cry. No, please, when you say, those who haven't seen it, they think what they're saying is that they just lie down there. And you know this, they know they close their eyes and clench their fists. No, for all you care, they could just be watching a movie. They are so relaxed. They just like, you know, the way you're sitting and listening to me. That's how they sit down. That's how they will lie down, like nothing is happening. That is, they will deliver completely. And there's one another thing. You can't tell them to stay in hospital till tomorrow. Let us watch them or their baby. No. As they finish like this, they pack their bag, they carry. The girl will just deliver like this. Just get up, they stroll, they go. Look, it's when you see it, you understand what I'm saying. So then, I now came, I was in Lagos then, after this. I was now discussing this relative of mine, she was pregnant. And I was saying that this labor thing, I don't think it's as bad as people make it. He said, what do you mean? It's very painful. We began to argue. I said, no. He said, no, different people have different thresholds of pain. And I said, look, listen, I'm not saying it's not painful, but I think we exaggerate it. Actually, that's a matter of fact, we do, because it's a nice thing, you're in labor, you can shout, grip your husband by the throat, squeeze his throat, he say, why did you do this to me? There was one woman who was, hey, cry, dancing that she carried her clothes, fling up, ran virtually naked, and said, God, no be picking you on, boy, why are you doing like this? Now, what from my own, actually, was that I went and saw where small girls, they will all drop the pekin like this, carry the pekin, carry their bag, wave you bye-bye. So I'm not saying labor is not painful. Actually, it is for them, part of it is training. I told you, look, perception in life is conditioned. Do you get my point? Perception is what? Conditioned. Those girls don't perceive. Look, it's not just like they train themselves not to feel the pain. They actually find it difficult to feel it, I believe. Anyway, I told this relative of mine all of this, but this is where I'm going. By the time we argued, I told her just one thing. Before I tell you what I told her, let me tell you, as a matter of fact, it was to be her first delivery. She had never delivered before. So I told her, I said, have you delivered before? Then she got my point and she kept quiet. I said, look at you. For the last 30 minutes, you've been arguing with me about how painful labor is and you've never experienced it. And look, as a matter of fact, I was present the day she delivered. Because where she was going to deliver, I found out that there was no doctor. It was a local government hospital. So I said, where's the doctor? They said, no, they're just midwives they have. I said, what if you have complications? They said, we'll rush and go and call the doctor in a particular hospital. I said, I beg. But this is a relative of mine. So I stayed behind, and I was the doctor on duty that day. And I can testify she did not... She was not as good as the Fulani girls, all right? But she didn't cry once. Help didn't come out of her mouth. All she did was... That was all she did. I was there from... I mean, I took her to the hospital. I stayed there. It was after she delivered. Do you understand? I checked, the baby was okay. She wasn't bleeding. Everybody was okay. Because I had to go. I was working. And I was on night duty that day. So I went to work a little bit late. So when everything was all right, I made sure everything was okay. And I told the midwife, all right, I will be leaving. So from the beginning to the end, I was there. Now, are you getting what I'm saying? That is perception. It's what you've been told. Information forms perception. That's the point I'm making. It affects you. So when you hear the truth about life, it's good you are here to hear what we are teaching. Do you get the point? So that you start loving the things that are excellent. Go and read Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Paul said that you might learn to approve those things which are what? Excellent. There are things that have inherent value. And only God can tell you what those things are. Do you get the point I'm making? Now, I know I've said many, many things here and there. The main thing I wanted to say, I haven't gotten there. But all I have managed to say today is this. You are the light of the world. Now, you understand what I mean now? You understand what I mean now? It's not just before that. You know what we used to think is that I'm the light of the world. It means that, I show them how to behave. I give them examples. That is true. I'm not saying that is not true. But that's a small part of being the light of the world. I mean that this is how life started. Darkness was upon the surface of the deep. The earth was without form and void. Then God said, and God has not finished saying, for every child, do you understand my point, that is born, for everyone who gives his or her life to Christ, it's still a manifestation of the fact that God is still speaking. And once God saw that, listen, there's darkness in this district. They are poor. They are in trouble. They can't make ends meet. They are not productive. That's called darkness. You understand my point? That is called darkness. He said, let us now create light. So he said, understanding be. As soon as he said that, one man married another woman, and the woman conceived a child. Are you getting my point? And gave birth to a child, and that child is called what? You. Say, me. So now go back to what Jesus said when he looked at you and said, you are the light of the world. He was saying something. And I said, there are three things God wants to do in your life. One, what he's doing in you. And that thing is that he's developing the Christ character, the ability to manifest light. Because he had to say, let your light so shine. Because you can have light and you don't let it shine. Do you get the point? You can have light and you don't let it shine. You follow? So that's what he's doing. First, he's building the Christ character in you. I said, number two, I'll develop it again next time. I thank God for the progress we've made today, all right? But number two, I said, what he wants to do, all right, is another thing he wants to do in the church through you. And number three, what he wants to do on the earth through you. Those last two things are what I'm talking about. And that's the fact that, one, you have a gift that God commands you should do what? Exercise. Do you hear what I said? You should do what? Exercise it. Stop going around. You know, that's what I'm trying to say. Christians like somebody just prophesy upon you, and you are a prophet. You don't need that. You will discover something you can do with confidence. Do you get my point? Don't preach, it says, according to your faith. Don't preach what you don't understand if you're a preacher. That's what the Lord who used to cause confusion. I'm sure, including me too, when I was much younger. That's why God doesn't give people platform on time. He didn't allow me to preach too for a long time because he said, listen, Banky, what you are going to preach, what other people said, is not in accordance with your faith. You have no knowledge of what you are saying. I heard people say that one of the ways God speaks to you is a still small voice. I said, that's what Ken Higgins said, not what you have experienced. Why are you fooling me? I'm not saying God doesn't speak like that. I'm just saying that's what Ken Higgins said. And you yourself know you are not even sure of what they call a still small voice. You just know how to spell it because read in a book. That is, you are prophesying not in accordance with the proportion of your faith. So today I want to talk about the names of God. Hallelujah. God, the Shekinah, Shama, Rafa, you go all kinds of things. Because what is he saying? He has bought a concordance. Thanks for telling us. He has bought a Hebrew Bible. Do you get my point? That he cannot say that once I was poor, now I am rich. He can't say it. Once I was sick, now I am well. Or not, maybe not me personally. I have interacted with those. Do you get my point? They have had the first-hand knowledge. He said, therefore, go and preach the one you know. Once I was a sinner, now I am saved. At least you can say that one convincingly. Leave it there. Don't preach about the second coming of Christ. You don't know anything about it. All you know is that he shall come again. Don't say more than that too. All this one of Iraq will join with, you know, you've seen all kinds of prophecies. Iraq will join with Russia and they will attack Israel. And then America will join with China and come from the south. And then what will happen is that there will be a collision in what is called the Great Battle of Armageddon. Confusion made in America. Anytime I see, I just be laughing. Men are prophesying not in proportion to their faith. They are saying things they don't understand. I was watching Richard Quest on CNN on a program they call Quest Means Business. AIG, one of the biggest financial corporations in the world, lost $62 billion in 3 months of doing business. Richard Quest said, his producer asked him, how do you lose $62 billion in 3 months? Quest took, I think, HSBC's report and read a paragraph out. You know what he said in there? He said the financial instruments have become so complicated that even the directors, that is the managers of those banks, can't understand it. He said that is the summary. That is how people lose $62 billion in 3 months. They don't know what they are doing. I don't know whether you heard that. That's how they manage it. They don't know what they are doing. They are selling products that don't make any sense to them. Meanwhile, God had warned, prophesy only in proportion to your faith. Why did you lose money? You went into the stock market just because your friend made money from there. You don't know what is called stock market. Whether it is salt they are selling there or guguru and ekpa, you have no idea. That's how come your money vanished. Dollar was exchanging for last week for 172 naira. Just 2 months ago, it was 120. Charles Rudo began it when he pushed it to 135 deliberately. Then speculators stepped in. People are now buying dollars they don't need. And I feel sorry for them because there are those of us that are praying against them. They buy it at 150, hoping it will become 160. Then when they realize it has become 160, they say, why not? You can get to 170. It has reached 170. They are still buying. And then one day, it's going to happen again. Men, they don't learn. Then when they wake up, it will become 165. They say, nah, mistake. It will become 155. They will say, nah, mistake. Unfortunately for them, by that time, everybody is panicking. They start selling the ones they have acquired. And it keeps going down. By the time it hits 118, men have lost money. Men will have lost heavily. What am I trying to teach? Because they were not doing business in proportion to their faith. One of the men I respect most in business, the richest man in the world currently, Warren Buffett. He said, I don't invest in anything I can't explain what they do. He said, I don't invest in any company that I can't explain what they do to my mother. Dangote at the point in time pulled all his money. Then, I don't know where he finally did, but he said he was pulling all his money from Nigerian banking system. That's owning banks. He said, why? He said, I don't understand banking. That how they do it, I don't get the point. I can make indomie. I can make cement. As about to lend money and collect it back, I don't know. So I don't do business, I don't know. But we preachers want to preach what we don't understand. So we'll make a wreck of the whole thing. People want to do businesses they don't understand. They wreck the whole thing. That's why they lose money. But what have I preached to you today? Take your gift and exercise it. Don't do that which you don't understand. I have spoken long enough. Let us pray. Let us give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you for the power of your word. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. Say, Lord, lead me in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. Lord, let me not do that which I don't understand. Put a restraining force upon me. I give you my all. I give you the right to my life. To stop me when I want to start doing that which you have not called me to do, that which I don't understand. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because you have heard. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.